by here and think of this little old country church, but man, we get to rocking at times in here, all right? And you're just going to have to bear with me today, all right? I had a whole pot of coffee right before this, so it's either the Holy Spirit or Folgers, and we're going to get it together, all right? And God has been good. We are now in December, meaning we are out of the book of James. Hallelujah. All right? That was 12 weeks. I mean, it was a good 12 weeks, and I hope that I didn't waste my breath and you waste your time by just taking it for what it was and enjoying the time you had here, but I hope and I pray that you applied the Word of God to your life to see the trajectory of your life now and into in the future to be different. And today we're going to begin a Christmas series. All right, so in this month of December, I know y'all are probably wondering what I was going to be preaching about. Christmas. All right, is that all right with you if I preach about Jesus? All right, and the birth of our Savior. And what I want to do is I really want to take a few elements of Christmas that sometimes we don't really think about or maybe overlooked. And today I want to preach on the prophecy of Christmas. And why is it significant for us to talk about it? But before we get into it, before we even get into the Word, before we ever open our Bibles right now, I want us to kind of clear our minds. Because this time of the year, let's just raise our hands. Are you going to have a crazy time of the year? Just raise your hand. Be honest. It's going to be crazy, right? You're going to be hustling and bustling and spending lots of money and going into debt and eating ramen noodles for a few weeks to catch up. And you're going to be at five or six. We have 8 or 9 Christmas dinners to be at. Can I tell you that? Michaela, my kids, and I have 9 dinners to be at in the next month. And it's going to be nuts. And I actually want to go to most of them. And I'm blessed to be able to go to them and to have the family. But it's crazy. And then you've got to buy gifts, and then you've got to bake cookies, and then you've got to go to dinner, and then you've got to do this, and then you've got to buy that, and then you've got to wear, you know, matching Christmas outfits and buy matching Christmas pajamas, and then you've got to do all of these things. And then you have to watch every single night the nightly Hallmark Christmas movie to catch up. And this time of year is nuts. But I just want us right now to just clear your mind of everything. The tree, cut it out. The decorations, cut it out. The lights on your house, just forget about them for just a minute. And can we just really press into the presence of the one that was born? I want you, okay, this time of the year, it's all about running around and looking online and Black Friday shopping because we're wanting to buy that one perfect present. It's just going to satisfy our heart. It's going to impress our in-laws. It's going to bring joy to our family. But can I encourage you and kind of challenge you to seriously, mentally slow down? I know you're going to be hustling and bustling and all over, but spiritually, mentally, slow down. This time of the year isn't about finding that one perfect present. It's about spending time in the presence of the perfect one. This time of year is about celebrating the birth, the Messiah that came, the appointed, the anointed one, the chosen one, Jesus, sweet baby Jesus. And we get to celebrate that. May we not forget the Christ in Christmas, because if you remove Christ, it's just a mess. I would say it's a mess. Christmas. And if you remove Christ, you will find that your time, your month is simply a mess. It goes by like that, and there you are in the new year, forgetting where time has gone. And what I want us to do is this entire month, one thing a day, and when you wake up, thank God for one thing. But do not repeat it the entire month. You cannot repeat it. So tomorrow, thank God for coffee. The next day, thank God for HBO or whatever you have and whatever you do. And I don't want you to repeat anything. And I want you to simply live in this mentality of gratefulness, thankfulness. And I know Thanksgiving's over, but it's Christmas time, the time in which we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the greatest gift that you would ever receive. It's not a fishing pole. It's not a handbag. It's not a vehicle. It was a baby born in a manger 2,000 years ago. And starting today, I want to discuss a few elements of Christmas. And today I want to begin in Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, and if you want to mark your Bible while you're going there, mark it to Matthew chapter 1. So Isaiah 7 and verse 14, and then Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And what we're going to do there is we're going to read a prophecy of the one to come. So, as you're turning there, I'll give you a few seconds to get there. As you all may know, the name of Jesus was not actually spoken in the Old Testament. They weren't calling this one to come Jesus until the angel appeared to Mary and Joseph and showed them the revelation of the one to come, and his name shall be called Jesus. We always read about Emmanuel. We read in Isaiah 9 about Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We always read about the Messiah, the Christ, the Chosen One, the one to come. And all throughout the Old Testament, you see prophecies of this one to come. And here we are in Isaiah chapter 7. And as we read this, I got to give you a little bit of background on this particular prophecy, because there is some debate that this prophecy was spoken by the prophet Isaiah to the king Ahaz, and it was actually to be fulfilled in his day, in the day of Isaiah. So there is much debate as whether this is a prophecy solely about Jesus Christ to come, or about a child to be born in the day of Isaiah, and then also a prophecy of the one to come. There is debate about that. But I believe as we read it, we'll understand that this simply points to the one to come, and his name was Jesus. And there is some language in here that we have to understand. The word virgin there, one of two things it could be translated to: a virgin who knew no men, or a young woman. So when Mary was chosen, she was a virgin in two ways. She was a virgin by not knowing men, and she was a virgin by being a young woman. So here we are. This is probably 750 years before the birth of Jesus, and this is what Isaiah says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now turning to Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to read it and then we'll connect them up here in just a second. And then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, this is what we read. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And probably you're thinking, we just read that. And what this is a quote from the book of Isaiah chapter 7, what the prophet spoke, because what has happened at this point is 750 years before Jesus came, Isaiah prophesies of this one. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, you see all of these names given to the one to come, wonderful counselor, mighty God. And then here we are, and this is the angel speaking to Joseph. Well, the reason, if you don't know this story, some may not. If you know it, then you know it. But if you don't, this is what's happened. Mary has been revealed to by the angel that she will conceive a child and bear a son by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, being a righteous or a just man trying to honor the Lord, said, nah, I got to cut this thing off because we were going to wait until marriage to do what married people do. And he said, I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to honor you. I'm just going to go ahead and call this off because I didn't know you like that. And someone else must have. So we're just going to cancel this thing. And they were engaged. And the angel comes to Joseph and says, look, don't fear by taking her, because she's going to give birth to a son. And he said, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. This is Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. For he will save his people from their sins. And then he says in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. So what the angel does is the angel takes what was spoken 750 years before the birth and reminds Joseph of this promise to come. So here we are in 2018 reading a prophecy of Jesus that is nearly 3,000 years old. Why is that important? Well, because the prophecies that you read in the Old Testament about the one to come was to provide hope to a people who were hopeless. And whenever I started to think about it that way, I realized I should put myself right there in the position of the people. Because the prophecies were to give people a hope to come, a hope that one was going to come. So what would happen is these people would be living with this hope of this one to come. He's going to save us. He's going to restore us. He's going to deliver us. And then that generation would die off, but they would pass it on to their generation. And they're living, and they're living, and they're expecting, and they're hoping that this one is going to come. And then they die off. And the next generation, they're hoping, and they're hoping, and they're hoping. And for 750 years after this, finally, hope came alive. Now, that was 2,000 years ago. And what I want you to do is, I want you to put yourself in their place after the fact, because the reality is, without Jesus, we are hopeless. Can I tell you that? Your life is hopeless without him. We only have hope in Jesus Christ. And let me just go ahead. Christ is not his last name. Christ was his name. It was meaning the anointed one, the chosen one to come. And today I want to give you two reasons why we have hope in the one that has come. And the first one is this. In Matthew 21, or 1:21, I just read it. He says, the angel says, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful name? Does anybody's heart flutter a little bit just hearing the name of Jesus? I mean, that's a sweet, sweet name, and we should never lose that. And you shall call his name Jesus, Yahshua, for he will save his people. Do you catch that? He will save his people from their sins. The first hope that you and I have in Jesus is that through him and him only, we will be saved from our sins. Because he says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what we have to understand is if we have not surrendered our hearts, our lives, and submitted to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are simply, and I hate to say it this way, and it may sound harsh, but we are hopeless. We are hopeless. God so loved the world that he sent his only son. So whoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have eternal life. So if I don't believe in him, if I don't surrender to him, if I do not follow him, eventually I will perish. Not just physically, but spiritually. I will be tormented for days and days and days and years forever and ever and ever. So without Jesus, we're hopeless. I know we may have good lives, we make money, we have nice things, we have friends, we have family, but one of these days, everything that you own will go away. You know, I heard Denzel Washington say this week to the Los Angeles Lakers, you've never seen a U-Haul follow a hearse, have you? Have you ever seen U-Haul trucks like, we're going to put this on his grave or on her grave? No, why? Because whenever we leave, we can't take anything with us. And all it is garage sale stuff. All it is passed on. All of our money's going to be spent or taken by the government. And everything's just going to go away. So eventually, as we breathe our last breath, if we do not have Jesus, we have nothing. Absolutely nothing. But if we have Jesus, we have hope that we have been saved from our sin, meaning he has saved us from eternal spiritual darkness and brought us into a light, and we have new life, we have new hope. So 2,000 years ago, hope came alive, and here we are in 2018 living with this hope. And it's up to you, it's up to me to actually live in it and to share it, because the first hope is Jesus is the one to save us from our sin. But the second hope is found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, whenever you read the Great Commission, when he says, go to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So our commission is to make disciples. And the hope that we have is if you turn there right now, Matthew 28. He says this at the very end. He says, I have teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. So the first hope that you have in this one that has now come is that he will save us from our sin. And the second hope that we have is that he will be with us until the end of the age. Through every circumstance. Did you know that you have a hope that's bigger than the doctor's diagnosis? That's how big your hope is. Your hope is much larger than the relationship that's fallen apart. Your hope is bigger than the relationship or the family that's just kind of split. Your hope is bigger than the opinions that people have of you. Your hope is bigger, thank God, that is bigger than Fox News, CNN, Russia, and even Donald Trump. That's how big your hope is. It's bigger than any circumstance, anything, or anyone on this planet. Your hope is alive. Your hope is that you and I will be saved from our sin. Well, how do we become saved? Well, it's simply in Him. If we don't confess our sins to Him, call upon the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, if we do not repent of our sin and live for Him, then we are hopeless. And I know it sounds hard, you know, you were expecting, you may have brought a visitor today, man, like, it's going to be so good, and here I am telling you, you're hopeless. It's encouraging, I know. But I would be so heartbroken to allow people to walk around with a false hope, thinking they have hope because they come to church, thinking you have hope because you're a good friend or a good neighbor. My heart would break to see people walking around this planet with a false hope just because you open doors for old ladies and shake hands of old men, that you're good. And I'm afraid that there are many people, so-called Christians too, walking around this life with a false hope because they come to church 35 times a year or more. That's not it. I would hate to see people walk around this life with a false hope because they love their neighbor. I would hate to see people walk around this life with a false hope because they're generous to people in need and they donate to charity. All of those things are great, but if you've never called upon the name of Jesus as Lord, we will never see what that hope truly looks like. The prophecy of Jesus was giving hope to a people who were hopeless. And without Him, we are simply hopeless. You may impress your boss. You may love your friends. You may love your family. You may leave a legacy that lasts 5 generations. That's it. That's it. And I just want to be real with you for a minute because my heart breaks seeing people who come to church, who give money, who do great things, but never humble themselves enough to submit to the great I Am, and to surrender their hearts and their lives truly to Him, to repent of their sin, not repeat it, to change their lives by the grace of God given to us by the Spirit of the Lord. Hope came alive 2,000 years ago to grant us a gift that we can never, ever earn, never, ever deserve, but by the grace of God. By the grace of God, we shall be saved simply by the name and the work of Jesus. That's it. And my heart breaks to see people living with false hope because they think, I go to church, I do well, I give to people in need, I open doors for old ladies instead of shutting them in their face, because I've done that, and don't do that. And I do all of these things in my community. I'm a good parent. I'm a good spouse. I'm faithful to my spouse. I'm encouraging to my kids. All of those things are great. But can I tell you that the day that you breathe your last breath, your spouse isn't going to meet you at the gates and plead with God. They were a good spouse. They loved me all their life, and they gave everything for their family. That's not it. That's not it. Your neighbors aren't going to meet you there and say, well, they watered my garden when I was on vacation, and they cut my grass when I was down on my back. Old ladies aren't going to say they carried my groceries to my car. Church people aren't going to say they funded this ministry project. We have a great intercessor, and His name is Jesus. And He sits at the right hand of the Father, and He intercedes for you and I. And He sits there, and I can just picture Him right now. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. And here we are just living in this life, enjoying it. And I would hate to see people walk with a false hope to be cast out of his presence because they wanted to enjoy their life on earth a little bit more. Or they wanted to live according to the flesh and the lust of their own heart. And they thought by being a good guy and a great woman that they would live in glory forever and ever. But I just have to tell you, without submission to Jesus Christ as King and Lord, we are hopeless. That's it. That's the story of Christmas, that God knew we can never live to the standard that he has set. So he sent his son to pay the price, to be the propitiation, the price in which we can never pay, to be the sacrifice, to provide us the bridge to glory, to provide us hope. And the beautiful thing is, you and I live in 2018. Jesus has been dead and gone 2,000 years, yet the hope is still alive today. So what do? Oh, we're thankful, and we live in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and we share it with others. This Christmas season isn't about impressing the people around you with gifts and spending a certain amount. Mikhail and I spend a certain amount on each person. Can I tell you that? I don't know if you are, but we're kind of weird. We want to make it as even as fair as possible, so we'll spend the same amount on each sibling or each parent and try to keep it fair. And I started to think, man, that's kind of what our Heavenly Father did. He said, I'm going to give you the same sacrifice for you. Even if you come into this place all jacked up in a history we could talk about for days, he says, no, I'm going to send you the same gift as I send the one that grew up in church. I'm going to send the same amount of my grace. His name was Jesus, born 2,000 years ago in a manger, to grow up, to live, to become 30 years old and start a ministry, to take 12 broken people and to train them up so that as he left, his gospel could be shared. And we today, in this Christmas season, get to live in the prophecy of Christmas that hope was provided. Whatever the doctor tells you, what's it matter? Because I have hope that is still alive. And I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring for you. I don't. And I'm sorry. I wish I knew everything. Sometimes I think I do. And then my wife reminds me, or my four-year-old reminds me, that I don't. But you know what? I don't care what tomorrow brings. I don't care what doctors call me or what people say about me. I could care less what Russia does. I know it might sound rough, but truly I don't. Because I have a hope that is everlasting. Because I have a hope that one day I will live in forever and ever and ever. And I will see his glorious face and I will live in his presence forever and ever. And I pray that this Christmas season, that you will find that hope. I pray that this Christmas season will be different for you than it may have ever been. That you won't worry so much about the amount of gifts under the tree, but you'll remember the one that was hung by it. And that you'll remember the gift and the sacrifice that he made to come down from glory, to be born of a baby, to be born of a virgin in baby form. To live around human beings. Look around you, a bunch of human beings. Would you want to live with those people if you were God? He took the sacrifice to step down, to give himself up for you and me, to come born in a manger. And I know we could preach about the inn and there was no room. Do we have room for him in our Christmas season? Do we have room for him in our hearts? But I want us today to truly focus on the hope that Jesus gives. And in just a second, I want to ask that we would spend this moment in a very intimate way, maybe like we've never done before, but truly thankful for the gift, clinging to the hope, and understanding that tomorrow could bring many things. Do Did you know that by one buzz of this phone, your life could change forever? But my hope will never change. My hope will never end. And I pray that in this moment, we could spend an intimate time with our Father. And I want to ask for you to truly evaluate your own heart and your own life. Because without surrendering our heart and our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the hope is for His people. The hope was given to His people, and the promise was for His people. And until we call upon Him as Lord and King, we are not living in the hope, and I'm sorry to break it to you, but we must go to Him. I just want to ask if we could spend an intimate time in prayer as we get ready to sing one more song, as you get ready to leave. But can we just ask ourselves this? If we have never called upon the name of Jesus, if you have never truly surrendered your heart and your life to Him, I'm not talking about just coming to church and putting on a show. I mean, truly surrendered your heart, felt the weight of your sin, and confessed to Him He was the Savior. You are in need of a Savior. You need His grace evermore, and you are thankful for Him. If you have never done it, I want to give you a moment of invitation now. I just want us to pray. And if you are, you know, confidently saved, I want you to rejoice, and I want you to pray right now for people that you know that are not. People who are living hopeless lives. And if their life was to end today, they would not live in the same hope and the same joy that you and I have. And may we stop allowing earthly factors to rob us of an eternal joy and eternal hope. It's through Him. I just want to ask if we could pray right now as a church. If you could just bow your head, close your eyes.